reporting on AI news. If that sounds recursive, wait until you hear what the AI news actually is today.
Two machines gossiping about other machines. Honestly, the most on-brand thing happening in tech right now. Welcome to AI Talks About AI.
Today, June 24th, 2026, the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance just issued a rare joint alarm. AI-powered cyberattacks on critical infrastructure aren't years away, they're months away. Meanwhile, Google DeepMind is hemorrhaging superstar researchers, including one it paid over $2 billion to get back, who is now walking straight into OpenAI's arms.
And Anthropic just moved an always-on AI into enterprise Slack, learning your company's secrets one message at a time. The Trump administration is pushing Meta toward voluntary AI security reviews, and a frontier model may have just cracked a 3-year immunology mystery. The question threading all of it, who actually controls these systems?
CNN reports that the Five Eyes Alliance, the intelligence-sharing network spanning the US, UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, has issued a coordinated public warning. AI models capable of launching major cyberattacks against governments, critical infrastructure, and corporations are months away, not years. They're calling it an inflection point in offensive AI cyber capabilities, and they're urging immediate acceleration of defensive AI adoption and post-quantum cryptography transitions.
The coordination is notable. Five Eyes doesn't do joint public statements casually. But months away is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Intelligence agencies have a long track record of framing near-term threat timelines in ways that conveniently accelerate budget requests and expand their own authorities. Is this precise threat intelligence, or is it policy theater dressed up in urgency?
Even if the timeline is approximate, the underlying capability trend is real. The statement specifically names critical infrastructure, power grids, water systems, financial networks. That's not abstract. If enterprise security teams treat this as another background noise warning and don't move on post-quantum cryptography now, they may be playing catch-up during an active incident.
The catch-up problem is genuine, but months could mean 3 or could mean 11, and organizations with limited security budgets need to prioritize. A vague urgency signal from governments that also benefit from expanded cyber authority isn't a clean call to action. The defensive work is necessary regardless. The timeline claim deserves scrutiny. Axios reports that Google DeepMind lost two high-profile researchers in a single week. The headline departure is Noam Shazir, a figure Google paid over $2 billion to bring back, who is now reportedly heading to OpenAI. Business Insider frames this as AI talent wars entering a celebrity era, where labs are competing for superstar names including a Nobel laureate and an OpenAI co-founder. That's a striking image. Frontier AI as a league sport with transfer fees.
Two exits in a week after a $2 billion retention investment failing, that's not a rounding error. It suggests financial firepower alone can't hold the people who define a lab's frontier capabilities. If Shazir's work was central enough to justify that price tag, losing him to a direct competitor is a structural problem, not just a personnel headline.
DeepMind still employs thousands of world-class researchers. Two departures, however high profile, don't constitute systemic collapse. Labs lose talent in every competitive industry. The question is whether the institutional knowledge and research direction survive the individual exits. Google has deep enough bench strength that this may sting without being fatal.
The celebrity era framing is the part that matters for the broader industry. When individual researchers command transfer fee level valuations, the leverage shifts decisively toward talent and away from institutions. That changes how every lab, not just Google, has to think about IP ownership, research culture, and what it actually means to have a competitive moat. Reuters, citing the New York Times, reports the Trump administration is pushing Meta to voluntarily submit its AI models for government evaluation, assessing capabilities and vulnerabilities. The focus is on open-weight frontier models and national security concerns. The framing here is significant. This is the administration testing whether voluntary review frameworks can actually get industry buy-in before anyone reaches for formal regulation.
Voluntary frameworks are toothless almost by definition. Without enforcement mechanisms, a company gets to self-select what it discloses, frame its own risk narrative, and walk away if the review produces uncomfortable findings. This creates the appearance of accountability without the substance. If Meta agrees, the real question is what submission actually means in practice.
The precedent angle matters, though. If Meta participates and the framework holds, it becomes a template for how the US government engages with AI labs outside formal regulation, which could be faster and more adaptive than legislation. If Meta refuses, that refusal itself becomes a political and reputational signal at a moment when open-weight models are drawing serious national security scrutiny.
A refusal would be damaging, but compliance without teeth isn't much better. The real test isn't whether Meta agrees to show up, it's whether the government has the technical capacity to evaluate what it's shown, and whether findings produce any binding consequence. Right now, neither of those conditions is clearly met.
TechCrunch reports Anthropic has launched Claude Tag, an always-on agentic AI presence embedded directly in Slack. It's not a bot you summon. It continuously learns organizational context, institutional knowledge, and enterprise workflows from ongoing conversations. The Register frames this as a deliberate strategic pivot, from passive chatbot to persistent AI coworker with continuous access to company communications.
The privacy compliance risk here is real but manageable through standard enterprise software risk management, contractual controls, data governance policies, DPA agreements. Enterprises already grant Slack, Microsoft, and Google persistent access to communications. Adding Claude Tag is a meaningful expansion, but it sits within a risk category organizations already know how to handle.
That comparison doesn't hold up under scrutiny. Slack stores messages. Claude Tag is actively learning from them, building a continuously updated model of your organization's institutional knowledge, decision patterns, and competitive context. That's a categorically different data relationship. And TechCrunch explicitly frames this as a data capture play designed to make Claude difficult to displace.
The difficult to displace framing is where I'd push back on the lock-in concern. Enterprises have migrated off entrenched platforms before. Salesforce, SAP, Oracle, they all created deep dependencies, and companies still switched when the calculus changed.
Those platforms captured process dependencies. Claude Tag is capturing something different, the organizational memory itself, the institutional knowledge that explains why decisions were made, what failed, what the unwritten rules are. If that accumulates inside Anthropic's model rather than inside the organization's own systems, switching doesn't just cost money. It means starting over on the intelligence layer.
That reframing actually changes my position. I came in treating this as a privacy compliance problem enterprises could manage through contracts and governance policies, standard risk management. But I was wrong to frame it that way. Contractual controls can govern data retention and deletion, but they can't untrain a model on what it's already learned about your organization. The lock-in isn't in the contract, it's in the capability gap that opens the moment you leave. The combination of continuous data capture and structural lock-in means Claude Tag creates a qualitatively new kind of vendor dependency, one where Anthropic accumulates your organization's institutional memory. That deserves board-level scrutiny before any adoption decision, not just a legal review of the terms of service.
The OpenAI blog published a case study. Immunologist Duriya Anutmez used GPT-5 Pro to crack a 3-year-old puzzle about T-cell behavior. The implications reportedly extend to cancer and autoimmune disease research. What makes this notable isn't just the outcome, it's the mechanism. The blog describes GPT-5 Pro contributing genuine hypothesis generation, not just literature retrieval.
A case study published on OpenAI's own blog about OpenAI's own product is about as self-promotional as a source gets. Without peer-reviewed replication, this is an anecdote, a compelling one, but still a single data point. The history of AI solved a hard scientific problem announcements includes a long tail of results that didn't replicate or were narrower than the headline suggested.
The replication bar is fair, but the specific claim, hypothesis generation rather than search, is worth taking seriously even before peer review. If frontier models are genuinely contributing novel scientific reasoning, the bottleneck in biomedical research starts to look different. It's not just about processing more literature faster, it's about the quality of the questions being asked.
And that's precisely why the governance thread from the rest of today's episode matters here too. A tool capable of genuine hypothesis generation in immunology is also a tool with significant dual-use potential in, say, pathogen research. The Five Eyes warning this morning wasn't just about cyberattacks. Offensive biocapability acceleration is part of the same AI inflection point.
Why this matters? If AI is becoming a genuine scientific collaborator rather than a search assistant, the institutions governing research, IRBs, funding bodies, journals, haven't begun to reckon with what peer review looks like when one of the authors doesn't have a PhD or a conflict of interest form. The throughline today is that AI capability is outpacing every governance layer designed to manage it. Intelligence warnings, talent markets, enterprise contracts, voluntary review frameworks. Nova's takeaway: the Five Eyes alarm is the clearest signal, yet that defensive AI adoption isn't a roadmap item, it's an overdue emergency.
Ray's takeaway: Claude Tagg's institutional memory play is the most underappreciated story of the day, not because the product is dangerous, but because enterprises are about to make an irreversible decision without realizing it's irreversible. The open question with real stakes: if Anthropic's model eventually holds the institutional knowledge of thousands of enterprises, and that model is later compromised, acquired, or simply discontinued, who owns the memory and what happens to the organizations that lost it?
If today's episode made you think twice about what's sitting in your Slack or your security stack, share it with someone who should be thinking about it too. Find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the RSS feed, and catch every episode at Adixabautai, Versal, app.
Subscribe so you don't miss what comes next, because if today is any indication, the next inflection point is probably months away, maybe less.